You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We've got Mr. Fraser Thompson, a.k.a. Dunedin Sound, on the line, joining us from his office at home. How are you this morning, man? You good?
Yep.
There we go. Cool. Sorry, the Zoom might have had a little incident there. How is the work going?
It's pretty good. Just had the morning scrum. and now I'm working.
Nice. You mentioned that you have a cat at your abode who might interrupt the interview at some point.
Yes.
Any details you can reveal about the cat?
She's... I love her. Mm-hmm. I got her like last year, and she's become a very important part of my life.
Oh, is she a brown, grey, tabby, tortoiseshell?
Yeah, she's like a tortoiseshell. Yeah.
Mean. Big ups to tortoiseshell cats. They're so gorgeous. They're great. Now, I did a little bit of research on you yesterday, and that involved me scrolling for literal minutes through your YouTube channel, because there are so many videos, and the earliest one I could find is called Cool Science Experiment, and it features a high school science experiment, and it has nearly 200,000 views. Why does it have nearly 200,000 views?
Man, you've done your research. I've had that channel since before I did Dunedin Sound, so it's has a few old uploads there. And yeah, I don't even know. Like, I filmed that in like year 10 science.
It was uploaded in 2007, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe it was one of those early YouTube videos, because not many people were making videos. It just happened to be picked up by whoever.
I mean, it could have been, yeah. It was like pre the sort of vlogging, kind of like before YouTubing became like a thing you could do for money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you were an early adopter.
Yeah, I guess I was. Yes.
I also did a little bit of research by looking at the archive on your website, where you list all the bands who you've videoed, and you list their frequency. And I want to know who you think the most videoed band you've done is.
Well, it's, I think as of like last year, I think it's Koizilla.
Do you know how many videos you have of Koizilla?
Probably hundreds. I don't know exactly.
35. There's 35 videos of Koizilla you've uploaded.
Wait, only 35?
Apparently, well, according to your vault, yeah. And then the Rothmans came in very close with 34.
Oh, true. Okay, yeah, no, I've been to 35 Koizilla gigs.
Koizilla gigs, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's still quite a lot, I guess.
That's a lot of gigs, man. That's heaps of gigs.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, I think that shows some real dedication there. Koizilla, of course, absolute staple of the scene. Do you have any particular favorite track that we could maybe play after this corridor? You can sit on that for a second and think about it.
Yeah, because it's tough, because I've heard them live heaps, but you can't see the track name when you're hearing it live. So there's a lot of Koizilla songs where I don't know what they're called.
Very fair. I think Warped is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, I mean, Warped is incredible. I really wanted that to like get picked up more, because it's such a cool idea.
Doing a video game soundtrack for an album.
Yeah, and apparently the guy who wrote the original soundtrack like retweeted it and was into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's incredible. Well, I want to know, how is 2025 gigging going? What are your highlights so far of the gigs you've been to?
I mean, this is sort of a bit cheeky, but I've been enjoying Harsh Noise Soft Coffee.
At RDC?
Which is something I'm helping to organize, so it's...
So there's a little bit of a vested interest there.
Yeah, but it's been really fun doing them and finding people to play for them and stuff. So that's been really good. And then, Guitar Wolf was this year.
Oh, yeah. I heard that was incredible. I think I was out of the city when it happened, but I heard very good things.
It was pretty insane. Yeah, I wasn't really expecting to go to that, but someone put me on the door, so I went, and yeah, I was very glad I did.
Now, for those who don't know, I probably should have explained this earlier, but you go by Dunedin Sound, and you have documented the Dunedin music scene since at least 2014, maybe even longer, who knows. What came first, your love of videography or your love of local music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Good question. It was when I first started doing it, I was only doing audio.
All right. Which is
kind of weird now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the cat. Yeah, we can see the cat on the Zoom screen for you listeners.
It's radio though, so it's not like
it. For you at home watching on your TV.
But yeah, I came across this recording technique where you have microphones where you're like in your ears.
Oh yeah, the binaural technique.
Yeah. So yeah, and then I was like, oh, and I was also going to like, I just started going to gigs at that point, and I was like, oh, this could be a cool way to record these moments that are often just like not recorded, and like so many bands don't even release material either, so that like it's. So yeah, that's how it sort of started, and then I was like, if I'm doing that, I may as well take photos and do videos, and yeah, and it sort of branched off from that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What made you want to start doing that?
Yeah, and that's something I ponder, because it's become such, it's like inseparable from me now. Like I couldn't imagine not doing it, really.
Mm. Every time I go to a gig, I see you there. You know, you're a staple. You're a real staple of the music community.
Yeah. I could psychoanalyze retrospectively, and it was probably because it can be quite scary to. Well, it was for me anyway. Like I feel like I had a bit of social anxiety, and it was a bit scary going to gigs. And doing this sort of made me feel like I had like a role. So it was like I was meant to be there somehow. Mm-hmm.
And that made it easier to connect with people, maybe.
Yeah.
Or to connect with the bands or the scene, whatever.
I felt more like I belonged when I was, like, doing a job, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And how does it feel now going to gigs and doing it? Do you still feel a little bit anxious, or are you pretty, like, chill?
Well, it's... Last year, I was like, I should finally do something about my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to, saw a professional for a while and got on an SSRI. And yeah, since then, things have been a lot better. But yeah, for a long time, it was, which seems crazy because I went to so many gigs, but it was kind of difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, it took me a few minutes to scroll to the bottom of your channel, as I mentioned before. How many gigs do you think you've gone to since you've started doing this?
I think I'm pretty sure it's literally 400.
400 gigs over the space of 10 years. That's quite a lot. That's roughly a gig every week for 8 years.
Yeah, I guess that's... Yeah, that sounds right. I used to go to more earlier, so it's sort of places. I used to, if you look at the total per year, I used to do like 60 something, which is like more than one a week, I couldn't maintain that. So,
well, there's a fascinating thing I found, because I was analyzing your gig data on your website. 2018 was a massive year for you, with you attending 65 gigs, which is 1.25 gigs a week. What was in the air in 2018 that made you feel so giggy?
Oh, well, I mean, for one, I was younger than I am now. So
I was a younger man.
Yeah, I'm an old man now, so... Yeah, I mean, I did. I had more stamina, and I was also living on Princess Street in a really good location that was... Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty close to town, but yeah, it made it a lot easier to go to things.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I also just felt like there was a lot on. Like, the Attic was still around.
Oh, R.I.P.
And, yeah.
Nun Gallery was a thing.
Yeah, Nun Gallery, true, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Also, just incredible acts as well. There was that whole real, like, kind of dark wave scene going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's, it's really interesting. 2017 to 2018 marks the strongest period of gigging. I want to know, was that your favorite era of Dunedin music that you've been actively, watching, speculating?
It's hard to separate, because you get this with, like, Dunedin Sound people from the 80s, where they're but the 80s was the best era, and it's like, oh, it also happens to be the era where you were like 20.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like hard to kind of look at it unbiased, and you know, like I have really, really good memories from that time, but I don't think it's necessarily because the music was like better. I mean, it's just different types of music, but there's always like really good music coming out, and people are always going to keep making music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very diplomatic answer, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, very, very fair. I completely agree with you. There's always going to be good stuff made here because we are just an incredibly fun and weird city, and that tends to just kind of produce great shit. But I do think there were some exceptional bands from back in the day that unfortunately aren't around anymore. But that is what it is. You know, things change.
Yeah, and there'll always be more. So it's like whatever.
Yeah, for sure. What keeps you captivated in the music scene to keep documenting it?
It's sort of become just like an obsession now. I don't know. I guess it's like people who like collect Pokemon cards or collect stamps or whatever.
Mm.
And I just, it's kind of hard to like stop once I have like a catalog going. So there's that side, but then there's also that I do really like going to gigs, and I like experiencing like a, you know, a, I don't know how to say this without sounding like wanky, but you know, like an artistic expression, like someone like sharing
a performance, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love experiencing that. Mm.
If it's a way to connect with people that you can never get from anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can witness something that's like wholly unique and for this crowd. Yeah,
for sure. And it's, you know, and that kind of, that limited lifespan, that half-life of a performance makes it all the more beautiful because you know, like 20 or 30 other people are the only ones there to see it, you know?
Yeah, except then I ruin
except
that.
Except then you ruin it by making it permanent, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean...
No, that's the awesome thing.
That is also something I've kind of considered, though. It is kind of... Yeah, I think... Yeah. That's definitely a factor of like taking something that's special and like kind of recording it can be a bad thing.
I don't know. It's a really beautiful archive that you've built up over the years, though. You know, that's the thing. You wouldn't be able to know about these gigs if it weren't for you.
Yeah, and
in a public sense, you know.
I think. You know, like, I'm thinking less about people who are going to go to the website, like, the day after the gig, and I'm thinking more about people who are going to, like, 5 years later.
Yes, exactly.
And by then, enough time has passed that, like, it's... any sort of sensitivities around the moment have gone.
Yeah. And they can be like, this was happening in the scene back then.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking, is it should, as time goes on, it should get more and more interesting to go back and be... And, like, even you look at the crowds and be like, oh, the fashion was different back then. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's this one guy in the front who dances all the time, and he's at every gig, you know, that guy. Do you find yourself, like, trying to explore more music that you wouldn't normally listen to and go to different gigs that you wouldn't normally do to capture kind of a holistic sense of the scene?
Yeah, I do. I did definitely... Yeah, so since I've sort of slowed down a little bit, I do that less. I used to do that a lot more, but I do still try to every now and then go to something where I'm like, I might not like this, but you know, well, maybe I will. And if I don't, whatever. Like, it's even like most of the time, live music, even if I don't really enjoy the music, I still sort of enjoy the...
There's an energy there.
Yeah. So can't really go wrong.
Now, in recent years, live music here has been through a bit of a tumultuous time with the risk of residential developments maybe harming the crown, practice spaces being limited, and a general underinvestment in our music infrastructure. But we do also have, you know, venues like Pearl Diver and yours, which have popped up, and Dropkicks is now a thing, and you know, there's a lot more happening. Are you very hopeful about the future of I guess the scene in that sense?
Well, I am very concerned about the crown.
Very indeed, yes.
Yeah, as we all should be. I mean, Pearl Diver is great. I love Pearl Diver. It's hard to say. I mean, I think we don't just need more venues. I think they need to be good venues. They need to be like, I mean, it depends who, I don't want to, what am I trying to say here? There are some venues which don't feel suitable for the sort of music that I enjoy seeing. And I guess they still have a place for the other types of music that I don't enjoy seeing. But I want more venues like the Attic and Nun Gallery.
The weirder stuff, you know, the more kind of on the fringe, sadly, maybe.
Yeah, and yours is, of course, really great for that as well.
It is. It is.
But yeah, just more of that would be really cool. Just more different types of spaces. And I don't know whether that can happen and what's stopping it from happening. And yeah.
I'd love if the DCC unveiled an acoustic treatment grant for different venues. Because I think some venues, the acoustics sound like garbage. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not a diss against them. It's just that that's a real flaw. You know, that's a real piece of, that's a real mark, a way to improve.
And there is a bit of that at yours, I have to say. Especially when it's not super full, it's kind of just too echoey. And it's pretty simple to fix, which is sound deadening panels and stuff. But yeah, that costs money. So
Exactly. Like, everyone's in a bind, you know. That's the problem. But these places are so special because they allow so many people who want to platform that platform, when they give audiences who want to go see that stuff a place to go see that stuff. And that is a beautiful thing that we're forever grateful for.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. Thank you for coming on the program and chatting with me about this, Fraser. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Are we good to play Warped by Koizilla?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Great song, yeah.
Cool. Well, here is Koizilla with Warped People. You are listening to The One. Any final words, Fraser?
You put me on the spot. What am I? I don't know. Go to gigs. And make music as well. You don't even have to be good. Just make some music, everyone.
Just be creative.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was Fraser Thompson from Dunedin Sound. This is Koizilla with Warped. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.